This is All Things Considered on North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Rusty Jacobs, filling in for Jeff Tiberi for the next several weeks. Jeff and his wife are home with their newborn son, and we wish them well. On to perhaps less joyful but important topics with a look back at the week in state politics. Joining us, as they often do on Fridays, are Rob Schofield, director of the Progressive NC Policy Watch, and Becky Gray, senior vice president at the conservative John Locke Foundation. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Rusty.
Hey, Rusty.
Legislative wrangling and grassroots activism on the issue of guns in schools continue. Two subcommittees have been meeting ahead of the General Assembly's short session to look at measures lawmakers can take to address public concern about school safety after the deadly school shooting in Parkland, Florida in February. Students nationwide were planning walkouts and rallies for today, and Republican Representative Larry Pittman of Cabarrus County sent a letter to his House colleagues calling for arming teachers. Becky, are the students out ahead of the legislators on these issues?
Well, I don't think so. The legislature is a deliberative body. It's one that takes things and studies them and acts not retroactively or even proactively necessarily. The legislature's responsibility is to find real solutions to these problems that are facing our state. So I think the students and the protest and the grassroots and other people that are expressing their opinion about this are certainly well within their rights. And from a First Amendment free speech, I encourage that kind of thing. And the General Assembly at the same time, I think, is acting within the realm of what they do, and that's to look at these issues, hear from lots and lots of people, look at studies, get data, talk to experts, begin to sort through what are the good ideas, what can be implemented, what probably can't. But that's what, so I don't think one is ahead of the other. I think both are acting very appropriately.
Rob?
You know, as I've said before on the show, I think with it, action is way long overdue. I mean, we've been having these tragedies since Columbine and Newtown. There's nothing more to study. We know what needs to happen. We need to have reasonable, responsible, thorough, better regulation of firearms and who can get them, what kinds of guns people can possess. It's long overdue. It's still unaddressed. The General Assembly's not really taking any action in that direction. And Representative Pittman's idea, if there is one positive thing that's come out of the General Assembly of late, it has been, I think, a pretty clear rejection of Pittman's idea of putting thousands of guns in classrooms across the state. We have to remember, this is a lawmaker who compared Abraham Lincoln to Adolf Hitler. He's a troubled soul, and I can't imagine that his proposal is going to be taken that seriously. And I think the bottom line is we really can't arm or guard our way out of school violence. We've got to take guns out of the hands of people who are going to commit these kind of crimes, and especially mass killing machines like assault, military type assault weapons that we don't need in society.
With the May 8th primaries just around the corner, North Carolina's congressional races are drawing outside interest. California billionaire Tom Steyer announced he'll put $1 million into efforts to flip North Carolina's 9th district, where incumbent Republican Rob Pittenger must survive a primary before facing the winner of a two-way Democratic primary that includes a well-funded Dan McCready. And then the 13th district, where freshman Republican Ted Budd has no primary challenger and awaits a likely matchup with Democrat Kathy Manning, who she is also in a two-way Democratic primary. Steyer is also injecting $30 million into Next Gen Rising, a campaign to rouse millennial voters in swing districts across the country. So, Rob, is this a sign of seismic political activity in North Carolina?
It's maybe a 4.5 on the Richter scale. I don't think it's a huge shift. I think it's sort of sad that it's come to this. I think if we had publicly financed elections, if we had automatic voter registration, if we had reasonable tax laws that controlled some of the amazing, absurd wealth that the billionaires and plutocrats in our society are massing, you know, they wouldn't have this kind of outsized influence in our elections. So whether they're trying to elect Republicans or Democrats, I'm kind of saddened by this. I think it's a step away from the kind of democracy we've got to have. All that said, I guess let's hope he succeeds in getting more young people to vote, especially since this campaign that he's done in other states has had a record of sort of telling the truth. So I guess I give him credit for that, but I think it's very sad that it's come to this.
So Becky, how strong an indication is this investment that there really are flippable districts in North Carolina?
Well, I agree with Rob. I think it's sad. I think it's sad when you have a California billionaire who steps in to try to interfere with North Carolina elections. I have a lot of confidence in voters in North Carolina, have a lot of confidence in the process that we have in place, in the candidates and the forums that we have. I'm troubled when a California billionaire comes in and starts throwing around, you know, millions of dollars to try to influence North Carolina's elections.
Or even a Midwestern billionaire like the Koch brothers or some other plutocrat that does this. That's the troubling aspect of it. And even if they're billionaires from North Carolina, I'm troubled by that as well. But the fact remains that the voter turnout in some of these districts for among young people, the people they're trying to get to turn out, is like 18-20%.
Well,
so that would be a good thing to get them to vote. I'm sure you'd agree with that.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's young people. It's all of our responsibility to get out and vote. And I think the fact, you know, you ought not have to have billionaires come in and somehow bribe you to go to the polls to vote.
I don't think there's been any allegation that he's going to be bribing anyone to do
well,
that.
Well, coming and investing millions and millions of dollars in our election, I think it's troublesome. I think it's sad, and I think that it's a sad state of affairs that I have more confidence in North Carolina voters than apparently this California billionaire does.
Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, a likely gubernatorial candidate in 2020, seems to be campaigning. Since we're talking about politics and elections, he made some attention-grabbing comments at the Civitas Institute's Conservative Leadership Conference, saying while conservatives had faith in God, liberals or people on the left answered to no higher power than politics. And Becky, I'm wondering what you think. Is this a message that resonates? And if it does, who does it resonate with? And does it score Dan Forrest any points?
That's a good question. I don't know whether it scores points or not. I know Dan Forrest, and he speaks what he believes to be the truth. This was taken in the context of what he said was the, you know, further quote from the speech that he gave over the weekend, that the left marches and lobbies for bigger government with religious fervor, that, you know, that is their religion, big government, climate change, the Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter, gun control, name the issue. The fervor has reached a religious pitch is what Dan Forrest was talking about over the weekend. And I think that we see that. I mean, turn on the TV, see these protests, see the marches around these issues. And it is, I think that many would agree, it is with a religious fervor that the left has taken up these issues. I think that was the point that he was trying to make. People are passionate about things and issues today. Whether you think that's good or whether you think it's bad, I think that most people would agree that there is a passion and a religious fervor around these issues that we haven't seen in years.
Yeah, but he was trying to compare and contrast conservatives and progressives and say that conservatives had a faith in God and progressives didn't, which is just absolutely offensive and absurd. I mean, there are so many people I know with deep, close friends of mine who are deeply passionate, deeply caring about politics, but also deeply committed to their religious faith. And the notion that the right has a monopoly on that is, you could see why people would be offended by that, especially from a guy who has injected religion into politics constantly and has indeed, and you want to talk about big government, here's a man who proposes law after law to restrict a woman's right to reproductive freedom, to restrict the freedom of LGBTQ community. He's trying to pass laws to do those things. He's for big government when it comes to those issues. So it just struck me as one of the most hypocritical and offensive speeches in a long time by a North Carolina politician, but it's nothing new from Dan Forrest.
Rob Schofield works with NC Policy Watch. Becky Gray is with the John Locke Foundation. Thanks to you both.
Thanks, Rusty.
Thanks, Rusty.